I do have someone here on the line with me right now. Part of a group announcing some very exciting news today. The final tour ever for all bands in existence. It's the last tour. I have the wonderful Tom Larkin from She Had on the line. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm a little bit underslept, but currently in Auckland, where we talked to various people yesterday. Yeah, but excited to talk about this, and sad as well.
Yeah, well, that was kind of where I was going to start with this. I mean, no surprises, you've been talking to a few people about this. You're, you know, one of New Zealand's biggest, probably. But, you know, the final tour, there's a bit of a sting in that name.
Yeah, I think for all of us in She Had, the band has been, well, it's a narrative. It's lasted 10 albums. Mm. And within that narrative, how we go about doing things and how we bring new material and new music into that canon is really something that requires a huge focus from everyone. And it's very easy for us to get in a room and play and write. That's something that's like both a pleasure and is something, although it takes an enormous amount of work to produce great material, the process of writing that material comes very naturally and easily. We don't struggle with that. Likewise, we don't struggle with being able to perform together live as well and rehearse and focus on the shows. These things are not the problem. Really what it comes down to is the ability for us to manage commitments and obligations to continue delivering at the standard we've set for ourselves.
Yeah, right.
And to be able to support that narrative and support that story. And so that's been something that we've wrestled with over the past, you know, 2 years. How we go about doing that, how we can honour what She Had means to us and what it means to others. And we've decided it's better to complete a circle on that than it is to let things kind of operate in fits and starts.
That's a really interesting way of thinking about it. Do you feel, when you're kind of, you know, planning this and doing this, how do you decide what on earth to play? I mean, like, you've got a lot of choices.
Well, modern technology gives you Spotify, and there's numbers attached to that, so that makes it pretty easy. So I think that there's two sides to that. One is that you look at what people want to hear, then you look at the environment and what feels good for the band. And then I think, again, highlighting the narrative quality of it, you want to reference that story, that timeline, and perhaps pull on things that are special or reflect a moment between us and the audience, or perhaps a moment that suits us to highlight within that. So we're in the process right now of crunching through what that might look like. But it's got to, you know, you've got to balance the two elements to play the songs that people would like to hear, but also to make sure we're engaged fully every night. And that will involve, I think, sections of the set being different in every town. And there's too much to play. It'll be a long show, but there's too much to play. We've got to find a way that makes each night special, and we've got to find a way that leaves everyone feeling full to the brim as well.
Well, it's so great and important that you think like that when kind of building this tour as well. I guess in some ways, so like, you'd all have different songs you have personal connotations and likes and dislikes too, right? You'd all, like, each one of you would sort of have songs that mean something special to you.
Yes.
So is it a part of sort of, how do I put this? Making sure everyone gets kind of their time in the sun a little bit?
I think, yeah. I think that you want, it's not so much about people in the band having their time in the sun.
Right.
Because we've always highlighted that, I think. We've got strong players and we want full contribution from everyone, even within a song or an album or a show. So I don't think that we need to be conscious about highlighting anyone. Everyone's got their corner. Everyone delivers against what they do really well. So that's probably not something we're concerned about. What I think we want to do is make sure that we're highlighting each body of work in a way that, yeah, honours each part of the story, each chapter.
Yeah, good. Oh, great. And I guess, when looking back on this kind of journey and, you know, how far you've come, do you, in retrospect, does it kind of, can you see it in stages?
Yeah, you see it in movements, you know, and oftentimes that reflects people's lives and where we were at as each album is almost like a diary
of that time
period emotionally. So you can really, and what's great about music is it's so easy to unlock emotions and kind of feelings from that era.
Mm.
So when you hear those songs, you're not only revisiting who you were, how you saw the world, how you wanted to speak to the world through music. You feel that, but also you get to reflect on that as someone who's older and wiser. And you know how it's turned out. You know, you're looking back at the first scene whilst knowing the ending of the story, and you pick up on things that perhaps you didn't think were relevant at the time but have become really significant. And I know that this kind of sounds like a more kind of a wider, more esoteric perspective on it, but that's unfortunately what you get when you get older. and I think that, you know, the significance of, you know, the brashness and energy of youth is significant.
So that's
huge. But also what it is to have insight that is driven by that, that at times can be clumsy, but also can be incredibly, that can remind you, that can bring you back to a place where, hey, that's actually singular and that's truthful and that's clear. And perhaps the waters get muddied later. So that's really refreshing. At other times, you look at later on how the craft of things, is something that is more significant, but it's also something that's more relaxed in a sense of confidence. So, you know, you're going through an evolution, like a diary based in music of your evolution as four friends who started a band from high school.
Yeah, wow. Hey, never apologize for getting old and wise. It's a very special thing.
I apologize to my knees.
Fair enough, actually. Now, the full name, She Had Loud Forever, the final tour, 1988 to 2025. The part there, Loud Forever, was there ever the discussion of, oh, let's just, you know, Loud Forever, let's put out a little bit more music?
I think that's where we kind of got to, as we started to look at getting new music in the wake of our last album, Old Gods. We started to engage that process, and we realized that that was really, I suppose, the opening of the door, that it wasn't a problem coming up with new music, but it was a big problem getting everyone into the same room and to then go through what would it needed to come out into the world and to be really great. And then all of a sudden, those things, that's where those discussions started. So, yeah, I mean, new music comes easily. That's the bottom line. But you've got two members living in one country, two members living in another. And that's where we've come from. We've not stopped and kind of, you know, been a cover act of our own work.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Interesting. It's
like, and so the, and you know, the last two albums, like both those albums, you know, in our 50s, after 36 years of doing this, both of our last two albums have been number one in New Zealand and top 10 in Australia. That's for a heavy metal band, basically.
Yeah, that's...
And that's kind of freakish, and that doesn't, that's not normal. So, you know, that sets a bar, and it's like, and it's also like, you know, that we want to maintain that level of new material. And it's very much, we're driven by that sense of exploration and wanting to produce new songs and having that. And if we can't do that well and use that to build upon what we've done in the past, that's where we have to say, no, we don't really want to, you know, become a kind of like a self-referential.
Yeah. God, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? To our audience right now, I would go get tickets straight away. We've already had a text in saying the She Had website is getting slow. There must be
the site's actually crashed. So,
good. That's crazy.
So it's fucking, oh man. Anyways, so what we're doing is we're basically saying, look, come back at 5. We hope to have it sorted by then. But look, you can actually get all the tickets direct from the event or the site or the venue or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Our main portal's just, it needs a lie down and a rest and a bit of a chat before it can kind of, you know, get itself back up and, you know, take a stroll out there.
Oh, it's been in hot demand. That's right. To our audience right now, they are playing, She Had a Plane with The Vault, Mim Jensen and Con Khan at Sector 7, which is in the red zone, which will be fantastic, and a great opportunity. I mean, in the red zone, you can make as much noise as you like. No one lives near, which is fantastic. Tom, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
No problem.
Congratulations one more time on this extremely well-deserved milestone. Maybe your knees don't deserve it, but like, hey, knees take a lot of the brunt. So yeah, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you. See you soon.